This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And I don't know what you got out of the GOP debate last night. I found myself pitying the people who had to caption it and make transcripts. But here is one of the relatively rare coherent statements made last night about an important issue of the day. Here is Senator Ted Cruz arguing that in the legal standoff between Apple and the federal government over unlocking a cell phone belonging to the San Bernardino terrorists, it is Apple that should blink.
Apple should be forced to comply with this court order. Why? Because under the Fourth Amendment, a search and seizure is reasonable if it has judicial authorization and probable cause. In this instance, the order is not put a back door in everyone's cell phone. If that was the order, that order would be problematic because it would compromise security and safety for everyone.
But maybe the issue is not quite as simple as candidate Cruz would have us believe. It is clear cut, though. Here is Apple CEO Tim Cook speaking to ABC News, and then listen to FBI Director James Comey testifying before Congress.
This case is not about one phone. This case is about the future. What is at stake here is, can the government compel Apple to write software that we believe would make hundreds of millions of customers vulnerable around the world, including the U.S.?
Law enforcement, which I'm part of, really does save people's lives, rescue kids, rescue neighborhoods from terrorists, and we do that a whole lot through court orders that are search warrants, and we do it a whole lot through search warrants of mobile devices.
Privacy versus security. On Thursday, Apple filed a formal opposition to the federal court order requiring it to help law enforcement break into one of those phones a day before today's court deadline to respond. The federal government has also asked for the company's help in unlocking 9 additional phones. So where does this fight go from here? Joining us is Nuala O'Connor, former chief privacy officer for the Department of Homeland Security from 2003 to 2005. She's currently the president and CEO of the Office of the Center for Democracy and Technology, a nonprofit focused on advancing a free and open internet. This case, she says, couldn't be more important.
Technically, what we're talking about is the request from the government is to undo the password lock feature, right, and to create new code. The code does not exist right now. It is a precedent that could send a signal that the government can ask a company to break end-to-end encryption, to break other security and privacy protections in their devices. I think it's an outrageous overstepping on the part of the government.
All right, let's extend on this argument then. In the case of Verizon and AT&T and some of the Snowden revelations that they cooperated with the government on domestic surveillance of phone metadata, if the interior of your smartphone is known by Apple, or the capability is knowable by Apple in any way, does that mean the government has access to it? Or does Apple have to make the point that, no, this is not known and not knowable because that's what our encryption does? We have no idea, and we do not have the capability to actually break into a phone without committing a crime.
Well, that's what the goal is with strong end-to-end encryption, is to make it so that even the device manufacturer, the device offerer, can truly simply not see the data, that the data is jumbled or created in, or obfuscated or masked in a way that only you as the end user get to see it. That's where we're headed, and I think that is a concern that some people say, well, the government should have the key or the government should be able to break it. Encryption is a tool and a protection that other countries and other device manufacturers will create and will use as well. So on one hand, you're asking an American manufacturer to break its own encryption. Don't you think people who have ill intent or who want to mask their activities or use devices in the course of doing bad things will not be able to find encryption in other countries or find devices in other countries and use them? I think asking one manufacturer or one country's manufacturers to defeat their own protections is actually, again, harming national security, harming our economy, and most fundamentally harming our individual rights. And I think I'm so glad you brought up Snowden, because it's in the same class of overreach by the government and also the blurring of the lines between the private sector and the government sector about our data. And that, to me, is one of the most compelling threats and the most significant trends that we need to fight against if we're going to live in a truly always-on digital world where our devices serve us and not the government.
In your experience, both working in the public sector and the private sector, you've basically had a front row box seat to the inability of government to stay ahead of the curve of technology. And I'm wondering if there's a clock ticking on whether this issue is going to be soon out of date, and that Apple may be able to hold back the dam, you know, hold back the water now, but eventually there are going to be workarounds to all of this stuff, and that this little dust up will be perceived, you know, 10 years from now as a legal asterisk.
Well, I don't think of it right now as a little dust up, but I take your point that it is a skirmish in a larger kind of battle between the rights of the individual and the rights of the state about ourselves and our data and our daily lives. I take your point that we really need to get to a principled place where I believe the rights of the state should be very limited in intruding in our daily lives and in our data, and that the technology is really not the driver, but the larger principle of one's own dignity, one's own safe space, one's own zone of privacy is what drives. The one good compelling bell that I hear is the Supreme Court has ended up in the right place in the last four or five technologically driven cases, Kylo, Riley, Jones, and others, and they have upheld the rights of the individual against law enforcement intrusion into new and emerging technologies. And so I'm hopeful, although, again, we're about to see a change in the court again, but I'm hopeful that the justices will continue to hold the line that the rights of the individual are paramount to the rights of the state, and only with a very clear, compelling, limited, public interest reason would there be an intrusion into, again, your vie quotidienne, your daily life.
Nuala O'Connor is a former chief privacy officer for the Department of Homeland Security from 2003 to 2005. Currently, she's the president and CEO of the Center for Democracy and Technology, a nonprofit focused on digital civil liberties. Nuala, thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.